What's your favorite?
How did you go?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. Yeah. I think you'll have a great time here. Yeah.
So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, author of books, runner of races, and guy who is so fresh from dinner right now, he is still wearing an apron, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a complicated man. A man whose t-shirt collection is almost as exclusively Colorado-themed, despite the fact that I haven't lived in Colorado in over 20 years, and I have no intention of ever moving back there again. And yet still, when people ask me, where are you from? I instinctively say Colorado, due to some like stale leftover loyalty, I'd hope, but more likely and far worse, in some desperate bid to piggyback on the ethos of a state so that by association, I might seem more interesting. A culture like I can just put on or take off at will. Like, I don't know, a fucking t-shirt.
Wow.
Also, I write cartoons.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. Just trying something new. Trying to be very honest.
Thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. Avast's new all-in-one solution, Avast One, helps you take control of your safety and privacy online through a range of features. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ. How planned out in advance was that?
Pretty planned. I'm gonna try a couple of these. You know what inspired me was that our theme music is so honest and good that I'm like, I'm gonna try and match that energy.
Can I tell you what was simultaneously one of the best and worst moments of my life recently?
Absolutely.
My friends, Jamie and Scott. Shout out Jamie and Scott. Jamie, a childhood friend, grew up down the street from me. I love you with all the energy in my body. You're the best. Jamie and Scott had a little dinner party last weekend. We had some dinner and some board games we played with friends. And Jamie is like easily one of the coolest and most interesting people I've ever met in my life, and for some inexplicable reason listens to every episode of this podcast. And my friend in real life, so she doesn't need to do that. And actually it hurts me because sometimes I the stories that I tell on the show I want to recycle in real life and I can't. What am I supposed to do? Just engage with you in the present? I don't know how.
Yeah, I've got like a set. These are polished. This is gonna. Yeah. These are good ones. These are the good ones.
But so we're having dinner at Jamie and Scott's house and playing board games, and Jamie brings up the theme song to the podcast, and some of my other friends haven't either listened to it yet or at all, and so she was like, "Oh, you guys got to hear the new theme song. It's so great, Siri." And then she's like instructed her music thing to play the podcast theme song in this party in front of me in front of our friends and in front of the Lord. And she was like, I'm not gonna have it play the actual podcast, don't worry, I just want them to hear the song.
But still, she ambushed you. They're getting ambush podcasted.
And like it's simultaneously great and terrible because like I love our theme song so much and I love our friends so much, but I like there's also a part of my brain that was like, what if this never stops? What if it keeps going? I can't handle that. And it was like very heartwarming and also beat red and sweaty. And like, I have to go now.
Yeah.
Shout out, Jamie. Yeah. Love you, Jamie.
Why was Scott a part of that story?
Scott is Jamie's husband and also my friend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Jamie just and Scott's house. Content.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Scott. I didn't mean to come down on you. You got a great name. It's my coffee name. Or my Starbucks name. So I can't fault you, Scott.
It's also, there are enough people that fall into this category in my life now where I've known Scott for years. We go to the Poconos together every single year. Scott's great. He's a tremendous person. It's just so, it's his unfortunate luck that I met Jamie before I met him. So no matter how much adventures we share, it's like, this is Jamie and Jamie's husband, Scott. Jamie's husband.
Yeah.
Also my friend, Scott.
It's so clear. Like if a couple ever broke up in the friendship draft, who would go to who? And sometimes like you could see it alters sometimes.
Yeah.
Like throughout the relationship where you're like, oh yeah, no. Sally's like one of my really good friends. Oh, now she's Colleen's really good friend. I see what's happening here. I will not talk to Sally about Colleen. And then at a certain point, yeah, you just realize if we broke up, oh, you get Sally. That's, yeah. I get it. That's fine.
Well, let's see. Well, I was Daniel. Hoping you were going to hang on to me talking about wearing an apron in the intro. Cause I,
yeah. And then I went on my own shit. Sorry about that.
You went on t-shirts and I thought you were going to bring it around to apron. Cause you're like, oh, it's just something that I can put on and take off. Like, take off, I don't know. Like, and I was apron. Like, bring it home, daddy. And then you just didn't.
I brought it back to my own shit. What? First of all,
yeah.
Kiss the cook. What's it say?
Nothing. It's just like, it's like a black serious apron. It's got an ampersand on the
with a single
pocket.
Chili in the corner and it says Chili's?
No.
Oh.
It's
God, I thought for sure that's what you would have.
I gotta say, have you ever cooked with an apron?
No, never.
I didn't for the longest time. And then a couple years ago, my brother and sister-in-law got me an apron for Christmas. They had me in Secret Santa. And it might seem at first blush like, wow, you must not talk to your family because it feels like you like cooking, right? I've seen you on Instagram cooking, so here's an apron.
Here's a chef's hat. But
my brother Tommy also cooks a whole lot and loves it, and so it's something I would like, and also something that I'm sure he's gotten tremendous equivalent use out of his own apron. And I really got it thinking, yeah, I'll try this out like you do with gifts. You try it and you see how it goes. I can't think of a single gift in modern times that I have gotten more use out of than this
really?
Fucking apron. I tell them every time I see them, I wear it almost every time I cook. It travels with me when I go places.
Oh, I hate to be a bridesmaid about this, but does it have pockets?
It has three.
Oh, that's great. And they're like the ones that they're not diagonals. They just sit straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you putting shit in there?
Oh, yeah. There's like a shirt pocket that I sometimes put my phone in, but I bend down so much to get like the oven and everything that it was falling out of the breast pocket, so I don't usually keep my phone in there. But I keep like spoons and shit, and I usually hang a towel from one of the pockets.
Now, when I cook, I trust myself generally, and that trust has been earned because I don't generally get messy when I cook. Are you just like, you're doing stuff, you're wiping off the edge of a bowl with your finger and being like, ah, gotta get rid of that. And you're just wiping it on the apron? Or what
yes.
are you using this for?
That's okay. The wiping stuff on the apron has been the best change for me.
Okay.
As far as like not having to have a towel handy all the time or like waste paper towels that I could just like a child rub shit on my person. It's the best.
I'd be so nervous about cooking meat with it because I know for sure that I'd get some raw meat on it somehow.
Well, then wash it.
Gotta wash it every time I use it. It's just another thing. I have a very big question for you.
Okay.
When you
bring it on to our show. Big question.
When you take the little tails, do the tails tie in the back or do you wrap them all the way around and tie them in the front?
Wrap all the way around and tie them in the front.
When did that technology take off? Because when I was a kid, I definitely like put on my mom's apron just to, you know, give it a shot. And like aprons in general, all like the Kiss the Cook ones and everything, like they're those all tied in the back. At some point, everyone was like, "We're wasting our time," and that you just like twist it around, tie it in the front. I don't remember when that happened.
I had this is adjacent when I was taking my scuba classes. A couple months ago, we were all getting in our wetsuits, and I went to one of the other people taking the class, and I was like, do you want me to zip you up, and then you zip me up? And she says, no, there's like a cord that attaches to the zipper that I can just pull from where I am. And I was like, there is? And I watched her do it. There's like a long cord that hangs from the zipper that is specifically for this purpose. And I was like, wow, does mine have that too? She was like, I'll check. Yeah, it does. Like, okay, great. I'm going to do that too then.
And, do you still want to do it?
It's one of those really great inventions that
you had to ask. You couldn't have just reached. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No.
No, I got. The only reason I couldn't hear you is because
Oh.
It was only my computer. I'm sorry. It's the internet where I am. Can you?
When
hear
do you
me?
Want me to start talking?
Just yeah. a second. Wait till it slows down. Hold on a second. So what happened before?
Wait till what slows down?
What happens is the internet cuts out at my house, and when it stops, it kind of freezes up, and then whatever you've said just speeds right through. And okay. So I don't always know if there's just dead air or not. And so we can go right back to where we were. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay. What should I say? I kind of want to keep all this in.
All right. Makes it easy for Gabe.
It's one of those inventions that is a very simple thing that I'm sure took us way too long.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you could incorporate it into like fancy dresses. Probably still don't want a big honking rope hanging off the back of your fancy dress.
That's genius, though. Just like a delicate chain or something like that. You could put whatever you want on it. The same way a clutch, like the strap on a clutch matters.
Yeah.
Just a little strap like that. Something cool. We did that technology where we got those little clear straps that we hid inside women's clothing so you can hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you strap one of those on the back of a dress and nobody's going to balk at that. We've already seen those.
Yeah.
Hmm. You might be a smart man, Daniel. We might be rich. This is our idea.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
That's a good, this is a good tease for a future episode, where my quick question for you is going to be, to figure out how we get rich.
Okay. Well, we would have off of the electric toothbrush if somebody hadn't swooped in and stole the idea from me.
Yeah.
All right. I got some plans. I got some big plans for us getting rich. And I'll pitch to you like you're one of the sharks.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah.
Okay. That's a great future episode.
Because what I'm bringing to the table is, in a lot of ways, the hard work. I'm inviting you to come up with the next big thing.
I'm the idea man.
Yeah. And like you didn't have permission from the universe to do that previously. And so now by me taking the big step of really putting myself out there and saying, Soren, what's our $1 million idea? I mean, like, the stone's all the way up the hill, man. You just gotta just like nudge it over the side. We're basically done.
I think you're right. Okay. I'm gonna bring you every single one of mine will be some variation of the electric toothbrush.
Mine are going to be just some variation of scuba where it's like it's a toothbrush but with a really long cord so you can like do it from anywhere.
All the stuff you have to do behind your back.
Yeah. It just
all has long cords. Handcuffs, long cords.
Avast is a global leader in cybersecurity for more than 30 years and trusted by over 435 million users. Avast empowers you with digital safety and privacy, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you connect. Enjoy the opportunities that come with being connected on your terms. Avast's new all-in-one solution, Avast One, helps you take control of your safety and privacy online through a range of features. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com. Avast is great. It's so hard to feel like you've got safety and privacy in hand online today with all the apps and all the everything out there. Phones, am I right? You're probably wondering, what does Avast have? What do they do? They've got everything. They've got data breach monitoring that enables you to find out if your online accounts have been compromised and whether your passwords need to be changed. They've also got ransomware protection. It secures your personal photos, your documents, and other files from being modified, deleted, or encrypted by ransomware attacks. They also give you smart scan. You can find and remove viruses and resolve the most common privacy and performance issues that we all have through an optimization scan. Avast One offers both free and premium options. Avast prevents over 1.5 billion attacks every month. And with Avast One, you can confidently take control of your online world without worrying about viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cyber crimes. The only phishing I want to do is to get some fluke. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com.
Oh no, it's that time again. Oh, every single week I come to you and I say, what's getting in the way of your happiness? And you go, oh man, the same stuff again, Soren. And I'm like, yeah, but why are we still here? How come you're not doing anything about it? And you're like, I don't know. There's a lot of things with work that came up and my car won't start. And I'm like, but those are all connected. You see, it's all connected to your unhappiness. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways. And in a world that's telling you to do more and sleep less and grind all the time, here's your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches and teeth grinding and even digestive issues and the anxiety you feel right now when I ask you what's getting in the way of your happiness, those are all indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling. Gosh, who could forget about doom scrolling? Our favorite habit. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. BetterHelp is much more affordable than in-person therapy, too. Do you feel stressed all the time? What are the things that stress you out? Is it your work? Is it bills? Is it life? Is it family? Do you lose sleep due to your stress? Does stress affect your appetite? If you're like everyone else, then yeah, probably. It probably does. Give BetterHelp a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. Our listeners get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. That's BETTERHELP.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Well, I guess we should start our show.
All right.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay. Well, I have a quick question for you.
Shoot.
You know what a docent is, right? A museum docent?
I do, but a lot of our listeners don't.
Okay. It's the person who...
Nope, I did not.
A docent is the person who's like, I'm not talking about like an art museum. I'm talking about, well, I guess they'd have docents at those too, but it's like the person who knows the shit at the museum and they kind of take you around and like, they're the ones who would be like, over here, you see that in 1850, they used these butter churners or whatever it is. Yeah. And like, they can like, or like these ovens, the only way to tell what temperature it was to actually put your hand inside of it.
Now,
like,
is there at the heart of this an insecure schmuck who decided that he's too good to be called a tour guide? Or is there like a material difference between those two things?
It's a great question. Thanks. Docent is so much cooler.
Ooh.
I agree with you. I mean, I think that maybe you're right. Staff immediately below the professional rank. A person who acts as a guide, typically on a voluntary basis in a museum. Yeah. So this is what I'm getting at. I think it's usually a volunteer who does this. It's not even a person who's like getting paid, or they're getting paid peanuts at a museum. Cause there's so many museums, even in the United States, they like outnumber fast food chains.
Oh yeah. They did a Museums in America did bigger business than games for every major American sport combined last year.
It's wild. It's wild how many museums there are in the world and that they can stay afloat. And I guess it's because there's no overhead with your docents. But we went to a museum in the middle of the desert because we were on our trip to Idlewild. We were going up into the mountains, and the only way to get to the mountains is to go through hell. You go through the Palm Desert, which is like this low, squat, very, very hot area. And there's an old museum there in a town called Banning, which is like this place where it's basically like shows you what an old ranch looked like. They've preserved this ranch. And there's a house there too from the 1840s. But not exactly, because that house burned down. So they tried to replicate it based on pictures and stuff. Yeah. But we went to this museum because my daughter's freaking out. She wakes up from a nap and she's freaking out. She wants to get out of the car. And we're like, well, we need something to do. So we get out and we go to this museum and there's a docent there who's just...
Get out of the car. Look, this is what houses used to look like. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it was really hard to impart on my son the concept of like time and how this is interesting, because he's just like, he has no context for what 1840 means. Right. He's just like, I'm like, do you know when 1980 was? And he was like, I don't know, 100 years ago.
Yeah. And especially with the context of recreations and restorations, where it's like, even if you did get him on the same page, where it's like, all right, so this house has been here since 1840. Well, no, this one probably about 1970. They looked at photographs.
Yeah. So she was like, this docent who has, there's just nobody there. it's us. There's a parking lot and we're the only people there. I thought we might literally be the only people there. I walked into this wagon museum, which is part of it. And there's a woman sitting at a desk with a cash register. I'm like, oh, surprised to see another human being. I'm like, can I pay for the museum? She's like, yeah, sure. Wait, it's your whole family? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, okay, that's $4. And I was like, oh, okay. Sure. I didn't know anything was that cheap anymore. And she's like, well, the music, you can't do the tour because the woman's already out. The docent's already out on a tour. And I was like, that's fine. We're going to walk around.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking around, I'm like, where is she on a tour with? There's no other cars here. And we just walk around the grounds for a little bit. There's an orange tree and my son picks some oranges. And because wherever we go, we just fucking take. We're just like, this is mine now.
Yeah.
And
this $4 is suddenly a real steal.
We get into the house and she's there alone. And there's nobody else there. And so now I'm like, what was the tour? Who is she touring? Was it just like it was time? And she's like, well, no one's here, but I'm going to start the tour because we got to keep on a schedule.
Yeah.
And so we go in there and she's eager to talk. She just wants connection, like human connection. And I realized like that's a very specific thing to docents and tour guides everywhere I've ever gone. They love human interaction. Mm-hmm. In a way that is like, I don't trust. there's no skepticism. There's no jadedness. I'm sure that they get terrible people on their tours who they have to put up with. And yet every single time they meet a new human being, they're like, oh, I bet this person's rad. And like, they just want to talk and like find out what you know and hang out. And so she's doing all of that. She's like, just kind of like walking with us. She's like, if you have any questions, just ask me. And she's kind of like, as we talk about different things, she's telling us these little unique facts about it. She's just excited about the property and excited about her, I assume, volunteer job. And then she's like talking to my son and stuff. And she just wants to know about us. Like she's asking us questions about our family and like where we live and how old he is and how school is for him. And she's not just being polite. It's like she genuinely wants to know. And I start getting very, very jealous of this woman. Because she's so content and like so happy with her job that like she loves this place. She loves this museum. It's her baby. And then she also just loves human interaction. And like, I genuinely think we all kind of retire, like graduate into docentness. We're like that as old people. We're just like craving human interaction. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is. Just like, let's just talk. Anybody, let's talk. Let's talk. But she's young and she's got it. And I'm like getting really kind of mad at myself because I'm like, why can't I just like people? Why can't I just trust people or like open up? Like the minute somebody starts a conversation with me, I'm like on guard.
Yeah.
I'm just like waiting. I'm like, at some point there's going to be a red flag here and then I got to walk away. And sometimes people, they can disarm me if they're like very funny or they're interesting right away. And then I'm like, oh, okay. All right. This is a good interaction. But she's just like there to make lifelong friends. And she's so open. And yeah. I was like, I got to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. That sounds right. It seems like it's a very specific type of person that would be attracted to that kind of work that is important and very thankless. And I'm sure there's not a lot of money in it, if there's any money at all, if it's volunteer. And it's just, you've got to just be a person who likes preserving knowledge and being helpful and being personable with strangers. That's a very, you're not going to get like a couple of grouch docents, you know? There's no one like, where like, yeah, he's a little rough around the edges, but he's like, he's good when you get to know him, but he just fucking hates art. It's everybody who's drawn to it is really happy to be there.
That's a great persona like that. I think we can make a lot of money with that museum where it's like, because those two are always going hand in hand, where it's a person who both loves other people and the material, where if you just take away one of those things, it becomes a very funny situation where somebody who like really loves other people but could not give less of a shit about this place where they're working. Yeah. Like no, they're a bunch of sticklers here. Look, if anybody wants to smoke outside, that's cool. Yeah. With me, we could go do that. Or no, somebody
he's honestly the best in the world at what he does, but like left to his own devices, he'd burn every pyramid to the ground. Hates them, thinks they're ugly.
Hates them. Really despises them. At night we catch him throwing rocks at him. Or somebody who is just like somebody who loves the material, like loves Gettysburg, but just fucking hates people. And when people show up, it's always just like, yeah. All right, let's go look. And going through it and just the minute someone shows an interest, they don't trust it. Yeah. I'd be like, that would be a great museum.
A little kid asking the docent, how long was the Gettysburg Address? Like, oh, it's really interesting. It's actually, you can find it at justfuckinggoogleit.com.
Oh, you don't care. You don't care. You know, you're doing this for a class. What is this, extra credit for you?
Yeah.
Oh. No, I think we
see. We have some questions. Look like a lot of people like the sound of their own voices. All right.
Yeah. Huh. So that wasn't really a question, was it? You just wanted to tell us something that you knew.
Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Imagine it. Picture it. Think about it in your mind. You're shopping on one of your favorite sites. Don't tell me which one. I can't hear you. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Then you wait a few seconds. You're not going anywhere. Just wait a few seconds. And Honey's going to search for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. That was Dr. Evil. Honey wants to know what it saved me money on. Why? It saves money on dog treats that I have to get every time I do one of these ads because Honey is a nickname for my dog. So when I say Honey over and over again, he runs up to me expectantly, and I need to give him something. So I bought dog treats, and Honey saved me $9. And it's great because my dog eats them now. And Honey was easy to use. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast and supporting my dog, Jackson. I'd never recommend something I don't use. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. Speaking of stuff we know, I thought docent was a podium. Just a type of podium, just like a thing, a little column that you put a bowl on in the museum.
Okay, those displays, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and I got to now figure out where that those wires got crossed. I got to figure out with a thesaurus what you thought that was.
How did your kids like the museum?
They loved it.
Oh. Right.
Despite the fact that they had no historical context at all. They really liked it because we walked around. There were all these wagons there. Mm-hmm. Inside, they showed there's like an old mail wagon and a female wagon. No, there was an old mail wagon. There
not
was,
like a wagons of today. No, not. Jesus,
it was very cool. It was cool for me too because I play a lot of Red Dead Redemption.
Right,
that's my only context. But you just walking around the wagon museum was very cool because there was also a lot of, they have all the flint knaps and arrowheads that they'd found around the property from before tragedy. And then they had the old guns and the old china that they'd eat with, you know, not at the same time.
Yeah.
As using the guns. But, and then walking through the house was very interesting because there's like clearly a writing desk and it's just folds out of the wall in this way where you're like, oh yeah, you didn't need a lot of other shit on your desk. You had an inkwell and you had paper or maybe a pen at that point.
Yeah.
But like there was nothing else to put there. And then the kitchen was fascinating because, you know, you have to pump water in the kitchen. There's pipes to the kitchen, but you have to pump it like from the well. The sink is just, you got to roll up your sleeves when you want to use the sink and like really get to work. And then the stove, of course, is really interesting because it's, you got to put wood in the bottom of it, keep it going. And so you've got wood all next piled up next to the stove too. And then you got to cook real fast on it because you want to keep an even heat and all these things where I'm like, man, life was, it's not like it, you could do it. You could do it. I don't just want to say harder. It was just so much more inconvenient and time consuming to do any little thing. That made me feel good.
So mad at one of those recreation museums. They rebuilt Roosevelt's apartment or house or whatever in New York because they didn't have anything from the original, and they had like a couple of props from it, and then like some other like donated fake props and remade props. And I did this tour. I was doing in as a tie into a promotion for my book How to Fight Presidents when that book came out. Getting a story done on me for Esquire by a writer named Matthew Kitchen, and he was like, let's grab a meal and then let's do this Roosevelt tour, go to this old house. I was like, yeah, sure, I've never been, that sounds great. And we did it, and they were very clear that none of this is the real shit. None of this was stuff that Teddy or any of the Roosevelts like had or used. So I picked up a thing and started playing with it. Not in like a loud, obnoxious way, just in a I'm bored on this tour sort of way. I just like idly picked something up and started thumbing through it because I have this stupid idea in my head that if I can pick something up or open something, then I'm supposed to. Yes. Otherwise, it would be bolted down. So I picked it up and I start thumbing through it. And the docent, I guess, like, excuse me, you can't touch any of the parts of the museum, which when you say it is like a very obvious thing. Like, of course I can't. I've been to museums before. Of course I can't touch the stuff. But I was so embarrassed and I got yelled at as an adult, which I don't like. And then I turn over to the guy who's writing a profile about me and I just see him like, notes. Like, nah, don't write about how I got yelled at for touching the stuff.
Dan clumsily and sweatily thumbed through a book at the museum. Turned to me and said he was the greatest living writer. This book is shit. I could write things something 10 times this better. 10 times this better. Dan.
Yeah.
A dais. Dais. Is that possibly what you were thinking of?
Dais?
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed. Maybe this is a Mario thing. It's not called a diet. Maybe I'm thinking of like an archdiocese. Ooh, we're like in the weeds at this point.
Well, what word are we both trying to solve? Let's make sure that we're looking at the same.
Dais or dais?
Dais. Dais. Yeah.
It's dais. Okay. Dais. Is that what you're thinking of in terms of a dose?
Nope. Okay. I think it's just my brain being stupid.
Okay. Well, I get that a lot.
Yeah. I'm starting to see. I don't know if I've just been going, speaking of my brain being stupid. I've been famously taking Spanish classes. For our long listeners, back in November when I was on hiatus from work, Soren said that he thinks I should get a hobby, and I have since gotten scuba certified and taken Spanish every single day for 80 days and counting. Today will be day 81 of my daily Spanish lessons, and I'm still really enjoying them, but I have lost many of the words that I've learned in my 80 days of Spanish classes. Like every once in a while, because you're learning new words every day, and I feel like I'm learning more and I understand pretty well at this point. And if I hear people at the grocery store, I can pick up, oh, I know what's going on here. You guys are, you're talking about the weird guy who's standing too close to you. Ah, I see. Yeah. I can pick up on that.
It's me.
Yeah, yeah. It's Joe. There are some words, because we the way the classes are structured, you're just like in certain scenarios for a while, and then you bounce out of them. Like in the beginning, there's a lot of like you're in a cafe and you're ordering coffee, you're ordering wine, beer, soda, and then there's a chunk of time where I was planning a trip, so we were talking about airports and airline tickets a lot. There was a chunk of time where we were talking about playing volleyball and playing tennis a lot, and then you move on from these things, and it has now been like 15 lessons since anyone has asked me to play volleyball. I know what's going to happen again, and I am just realizing as I take these classes that play has fallen out of my head.
Yeah.
And that's they'll sneak up on you like that every once in a while. The scenario I'm in now is all about booksellers, And I'm just like talking about this work conference with booksellers. And they were like, okay. Now, one of the booksellers says, forget about this meeting. And they want to go out dancing. I was like, ah, fuck, we learned dancing back in February. I didn't think I thought I was done with dancing.
I think this is the pitfall of learning a language too fast, where like I know there's a lot of different companies that are like, hey, we can teach you Spanish in 3 months, and they can teach you like the basics of it, and they can teach you conjugation and things like that. But the actual glossary of terms, it's like filling a trash can, your brain, where it's just, you get to a certain point and then anything that goes in on top of it just sort of falls off the side.
Yeah.
Like there's only so many you can hold at any given time. And occasionally you can be like, well, no, this should go in as opposed to this. And then you have to remove something else. And so you can't possibly keep a full glossary in your head unless you are doing it every single day.
Yeah.
For like a year or two.
And certainly the next time I learn one of these languages, I still want to do Pimp Slur App for Life because I think it's a great way to learn things. I'm going to do it with another person because one of the things that I'm definitely missing is like there's no, because it's just me and I'm going back and forth with this app, there's no, you don't get to play the sport. You don't get to jam out with a band once you learn the song. You know, I want a thing that doesn't feel like class. I want to feel like I'm having a conversation in Spanish with someone who's exactly at my level. Yeah. Like I want to run a few laps talking about fucking airline tickets and playing volleyball for a while.
Yeah, there's no soloing when you're doing the app. That's true. Yeah,
and I can try a little bit. I think we've talked about this before. This is going to sound like I'm gunning for the thirst trap of the year, but there's an older woman that I volunteer with at the food pantry, Blanca. And I practice some Spanish with her, and that's good for scratching some of this itch. But I want to do it with someone who is exactly taking the class that I'm taking, because Blanca, even if she is, God bless her, doing like very basic conversational stuff, there's still a part of me that wants to be like, no, ask me about airport, ask me about airline tickets. I don't know what I'm doing this week because I don't know how to say scuba yet. So ask me about airline tickets because we just learned airline tickets.
Trajetas.
I'm trying to think if there have been any fun scenarios. Like, oh, there's a lot of talk about like going to the movies in this Spanish class, and you're sort of limited. They build it around movies with titles that are words that we would have learned otherwise. Like there was a week where we were going to the movies to see Yesterday because ayer was a word that we had learned for other purposes. So we're always talking about real movies. And the scenario a week or so ago was a woman had just seen a movie. And you're like, what movie was it? She says, A Quiet Place, because these are words that we're learning. And you're like, how was Quiet Place? It was too long. Quiet Place was too long. I didn't like it. You don't know what you don't know what she said, so you ask her again, how was the movie? And she says, it was terrible. A Quiet Place was terrible. It was too long, and it was terrible. And then for just the strange quirk of where we're at in this lesson, the narrator's like, you notice that she doesn't look right. So you say, what's wrong with you? And she says, I'm dizzy. And then the scenario ends. And it's just a weird scenario cobbled together with what we've learned. But listening to it, I feel like, oh, I see what happened. She got really high and saw a Quiet Place and had a bad time. It was too long. She got freaked out in the theater. Now she's dizzy. Leave her alone.
Yeah. She got too high and saw a horror movie. It was mad about it.
Sat in the theater, didn't know why everyone was being so quiet.
Is there any dialogue in this movie? I'm freaking out. That's so funny. I don't know if you've ever seen videos that are the other direction, where like somebody's for ESL, for they do the same sort of things where there's little vignettes and like a guy will be like, hey, do you know what time it is? And someone will say, no, why don't you ask that woman over there? And then he has to go like, we walk, like, that's a good idea. And walks over, he's like, hey, do you know what time it is? Ah, thank you. And then he comes back over, she knew what time it was. Like that kind of thing. But the weird thing is, and we wouldn't probably get this from Spanish because you're learning the language, but when they do it in English, it's glaring. They talk so slowly. And like they enunciate everything in a weird, weird way. Yeah. Where he's like, hello, could you tell me what time it is? You sound like a guy who's telling you what movies are at a theater, like a recording of that.
Yeah.
It's so slow and stilted in a way. And when it's a vignette that's video, it's even weirder. Yeah. Because you get to watch somebody trying to act through it.
It's certainly weird. And I would love to play this for like a fluent native Spanish speaker to see how weird everyone sounds. Because even without knowing how weird it would sound, like how stilted it might be, it's still just like boring ass conversations when I like step back a little bit. Like, you walked into a cafe and you saw a friend. She says, sit down. We are having an important discussion. We are talking about the countries. We think the languages are different, and that difference is important. What do you think? Tell her, I think the languages are important, but I also think so is the climate. Like, hey, this conversation fucking blows.
Could you do a second writing pass on this, maybe?
Yeah. How do you say in Spanish, I'm in an unconvincing matrix?
Yeah. Well, I hope, Dan, that it continues to go well for you. Bailar is dance. So you're all set there. Yeah. And, you know, you got to conjugate. It's AR, so it's real easy. Conjugation.
I think I actually texted you about this, where there was the scenario was you were driving with a woman to a party and you were lost. And then we're like very passive aggressively fighting over it, where it's like, yeah, tell her we're lost. So you tell her. And then she says, I'm not lost. And then you have to say, well, I'm lost. And now we're going to be late to the party. And then she says, what time is the party? And in this scenario, instead of my character answering her, the answer that they want me to tell her, I already told you what time the party is. And I'm like, oh, shit. These guys are fighting. It's like, tell her we are always late because of you. She says, not always, just sometimes. I really want to...
That's a really honest one. That was great.
It is. It reminds me of a person that we both knew that I was frequently going to parties with in LA, and was like, we would just get in fights all the time that were just like this, where I would get frustrated and say, we're always late. And she'd be like, not always. Okay. You win that part of the argument. We are still late and we're still lost. I'm not lost. Well, you're in my car and I'm lost.
And
fight to me that I want to reach out to the Spanish class and be like, hey, I know. So in my experience, these two characters fight a lot, and then eventually they work through it and they stop fighting. And I'm just really curious if we're going to have that lesson. They resolved their tension.
She was somebody who was very varsity at like spinning it. Like as soon as she was not right about something and started to realize she was not right, to just like turn it in the trend and change the angle of the argument to be like, well, I'm right about this. And that's what we're arguing about. And, you have to like pin her down and be like, no. And like bring her back to your angle and be like, no, this is where we were. I remember a night at your apartment where
better at this specific thing.
She and I got in like a yelling match in your apartment. And to this day, I don't remember what it was about, but she was really your friend. Mm-hmm. And then like we started hanging out. And when I got in this yelling argument with her, just like the glimmer in your eye of like seeing somebody else deal with it, to be a third party to that and witness that, like, no, it's not just you. It's not, you're not being a bad person. Like, she's just really good at this.
Yeah.
was great. Was you like realizing, oh no, this is for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm the good guy here.
Look, now Soren's really sweaty and she still has not lost her cool. And she's just like racking up wins because she keeps changing the game. Another point on the board.
Yeah, she was excellent at that. I don't know like how you learn something like that either. It's debate class maybe, but she'd pivot so quick to the point where like at the end you'd be like, hold on, how did we get way over here? The original argument was this and I was right. It's the problem is anytime you use just like a tiny bit of hyperbole, she nails you down. She's like, oh, really? Millions? Millions? You're like, well, no. No, not millions, probably.
Right.
Okay, then she runs a victory lap. Yeah.
We had an argument that started with us trying to figure out whether or not the tar pits were closed, and now I'm apologizing and saying she's right about when Amelia Earhart disappeared. How the fuck did this happen?
It's, I think you just, when those circumstances, you just got to take the person and like verbally drag them back to the very first part of the conversation. No, you said this, and then I said this. Do you still think you're right? Okay, well, that's probably enough for a show. I'm going to tell you where you can find us on Twitter mostly, except for Daniel. Daniel, are you back on Twitter yet?
I am back on Twitter. It's,
That didn't take long.
No, I was going to leave it as like I wanted a brief test to see like, hey, am I addicted to this stupid hate machine that brings me no joy that I spend so much time on? And I think the jury's still kind of out on that. Because it was one of those like soft launch of a detox where I'm like, I'm going to like flirt with not doing it, but I can go back to it whenever I want. That's healthy, right? Knowing that it's completely within my control to just like take up Twitter again. And I did. I went like 25 days with no Twitter. And in the beginning was like, okay, it's not. The thing I feared was that I was going to need Twitter immediately.
Yeah.
And I didn't. There wasn't like a thing that was missing in my life. And then once I realized it wasn't like this important load-bearing thing, then my stupid, I guess the addict in my brain was like, okay, good. So now give it to me again.
Yeah. You almost took it to the edge though. You went 25 days. That's almost to the end. Yeah. And then was there some event that brought you back where you're like, I have to see what Twitter thinks about this?
It was the Oscars slap.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's fair. There, boy, were there a lot of bad takes to go explore with that.
I was away from Twitter just long enough that I had forgotten how bad Twitter has gotten at this point, that I was like, oh, this will be the perfect time to like jump in for some jokes. It's been so long since we've had a good old fashioned Twitter, just like run around the room doing jokes until we're all asleep kind of thing. Yeah. But it's not jokes anymore. It's takes, and it's recentering the narrative. So it's about you now. It's about whichever person is posting a response to it. Now this is about them. Like, oh, we don't even, we need like a separate Twitter just for jokes now.
I know. That would be so nice. Yeah. I guess that's kind of what Twitter could be. I don't have to follow the people who are doing takes. I could just never check the news feed and only go to the people that I follow. But I moose out a lot of the news that way.
Yeah.
I moose out.
Yeah.
You can follow Daniel at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soren and Dan. We also have an email address, which is QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. I didn't bother with our Instagram. I don't think anything's ever been posted to our Instagram. So fuck Instagram. Well, I'm just going to tell you about him. You can't find or follow him, but we have a producer, a sound engineer, an editor, and he's great. And his name is Gabe Harder. And if you met him in person, he would just be, you'd be charmed. You'd be like, everything that I was saying earlier about being a docent and like how you need to be open to other people. Boy, Gabe would really reward you for that. And that's it. Bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. Alright, I wanna hear your thoughts. I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. Alright, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So, what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.